In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this wonderful silsila that is Dimension of Islamic Life. And inshallah, in today's episode we are going to be discussing this topic of today is forgive and forget. Yes, inshallah azza wa jal, we will highlight the virtues of forgiveness. This is, alhamdulillah, an important step in our character building as a Muslim, as the ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we do that, let's remind one another, as we always do, to recite durood and salam in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that, send durood upon me abundantly on Friday, as it is the day of Mashhood. Angels appear on this day, and whoever sends durood upon me, his durood is presented to me until he completes it. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, I asked humbly, Ya Rasulullah, what about after your demise? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it will also be presented even after my apparent death. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna Allaha harrama ala al-awdi an ta'kula ajsad al-anbiya fa nabiyullahi hayyu yurzaq. Translation, the soil has been prohibited by Allah azza wa jal from consuming the bodies of the prophets alayhim as-salam. The prophets of Allah alayhim as-salam, they are alive and they are provided sustenance. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Tu zinda hai wallah, tu zinda hai wallah. Mere chashme alam se chip jane wale. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, let's listen to a beautiful kalam, as it is our routine that we, alhamdulillah, rejuvenate our hearts and spirits with the recitation of Not in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every episode. And inshallah, today's kalam is Allahu Ghani, wo kaisi purkaif ghadi thi. Yes, inshallah azza wa jal, let's listen to this kalam and we'll be back shortly after this kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Ghani kaisi wo purkaif ghadi. शहर की हर चीज मुझे खूब लगी थी, उस शहर की हर चीज मुझे खूब लगी थी, लजपाल की चौखट पे खड़ा था, लजपालों के लजपाल की चौखट पे खड़ा था, किस्मत मेरी उस दर بڑی جھوم رہی تھی قسمت میری اس در پہ کھڑی جھوم رہی تھی کیفیت دل کیسے بتاؤں تمہیں لوگوں کیفیت دل کیسے بتاؤں تمہیں لوگوں جب پہلی نظر گنبد خضرا پہ پڑی تھی جب پہلی نظر گنبد خضرا پہ پڑی تھی مجرم تھا کھڑا سر کو جھکائے ہوئے در پر مجرم تھا کھڑا سر کو جھکائے ہوئے در پر آنسو تھے رواں ایسے کہ ساون کی جھڑی تھی آنسو تھے رواں ایسے کہ ساون کی جھڑی تھی لے ڈوبتے آمال میرے مجھ کو نیازی لے ڈوبتے آمال میرے مجھ کو نیازی جا پہنچا مدینے میری تقدیر بھلی تھی جا پہنچا مدینے میری تقدیر بھلی تھی اللہ غنی کیسی وہ پر کیف گھڑی تھی جب سامنے نظروں کے مدینے کی گلی تھی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم بحرلہ such a wonderful kalam in the praise of the beloved city of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم about his ziyara and the yearning to visit there and to see the green emerald rawda and the dome of the beloved Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم مبارک tomb in Madinah Munawwara Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all again and again for the haziri of the beloved city and the beloved rawza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. As our topic for today is to forgive and forget. Yes, it's very important as a Muslim for us to have this, this nature of being forgiving. Because it was embedded into us by the Mubarak Ahadith and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As an Ummati, we need to adhere to the beautiful character of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, we can really beautify our lives as Muslims, as an Ummah. And in this regard, there is a beautiful parable from the seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. After the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the blessed city of Makkah Mukarramah, Ikramah, the son of Abu Jahl, who was the greatest enemy of Islam, his son Ikramah, who was a non-Muslim at that time, he hadn't embraced Islam by the time, he said that, "I would not live where I have to face the killer of my father," referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to his in-law's house and he left the Mubarak city of Makkah Mukarramah and asked his wife to pack his luggage. They tried to dissuade him by saying that, "O leader of the youth of Quraysh, where are you going to go? You are going to such a place where you will not be recognized." But Ikramah refused to accede. When Sayyida Ummi Hakim binti Haris Makhzumiya radiallahu ta'ala anha came to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to embrace Islam, she requested that, "O beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ikramah is running away from you to Yemen, fearing that you would execute him. Please grant him amnesty." And to that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after hearing her pleas, the Prophet of Rahmah, the most merciful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, granted him amnesty. And she radiallahu ta'ala anha left in search of her husband and caught him up at the place called Tihama coast. And she began to convince him. And she said to him, "O son of my uncle, I have come from the noblest and the most virtuous person." And she was referring to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Don't do this to yourself. Don't destroy yourself." She radiallahu ta'ala anha then informed him about the amnesty that she had sought from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he asked, "Have you really done that?" He was surprised to hear that he has been forgiven by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and had been granted amnesty. And he was questioning it. He said in disbelief, "Have you really done that?" And she said, "Yes, I pleaded and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has granted you amnesty." Sayyidina Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu then returned to Makkah Mukarramah with his wife, Sayyida Ummi Hakim. When Sayyidina Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased to see him. Sayyidina Ikramah then stood before the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alongside his wife who was covered in veil. He then said, "I testify that there is none worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jal. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his bondsman and the messenger of Allah." He made all who were present there witness to the fact that he had embraced Islam and had become a Muslim. Thereafter, he sought forgiveness from the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his past misdeeds, who used to be an ardent enemy of Islam and Muslims. But when he saw the forgiving nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite of his wrongdoings, he still forgave him and granted him amnesty. Subhanallah. This is the forgiving nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would forgive his sworn enemies as his ummah. This should come down to us, this beautiful character of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn to forgive and forget. Yes, many times, why do we say forgive and forget? It's because many a times it may happen that a person forgives somebody and then over time they keep reminding that person, "You know, you did this, you did that." After saying that "I forgave you," let it be in the past. But no, we want to taunt that person. We want to remind them, "You did this, you did that to me, you did this to me," after saying multiple times that "I have forgiven you for that." Allah. So this shouldn't be done. And this, alhamdulillah, the forgiveness of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we just mentioned at the occasion of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, He sallallahu alayhi wasallam forgave those enemies who tried to assassinate him, those enemies that fought wars against him, those enemies who attacked him, his family, and his Sahaba, those enemies who boycotted the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family Banu Hashim, those people, those enemies who did worse to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family Ahlul Bayt and his Sahaba. But on the day that he conquered Makkah Mukarramah, and they all those enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were in the city, they were all fearing for their lives that they will be fed to dogs and vultures if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam takes revenge for whatever wrongdoing that they did to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But no, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, today is not the day of bloodshed, but today is the day of mercy, subhanallah, and he forgave all and sundry, subhanallah. That was the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's inshallah extol the virtues and praises of that merciful Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I would request you to please recite with me. And this beautiful kalam has been penned and composed by great Ashiqi Rasul, none other than Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuh Mullah Aliya. He says,
میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی سب انبیاء کے ہو تم ہی سردار لاجرم سب انبیاء کے ہو تم ہی سردار لاجرم تم سا نہیں ہے دوسرا اے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی بعد آپ کے ہرگز نہ آئے گا نبی نیا بعد آپ کے ہرگز نہ آئے گا نبی نیا واللہ ایمان ہے میرا اے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی ایمان کی سلامتی کی بھیک ہو عطا ایمان کی سلامتی کی بھیک ہو عطا خالی نہ اب در سے پھرائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی سرکار اسی آنکھ مرض سے نیم جان ہو سرکار اسی آنکھ مرض سے نیم جان ہو دے دو خدا رب شفائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی دے دے شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے دے دے شفاعت کی مجھے خیرات خیر سے روز قیامت بخشوائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، نارے جہنم سے بچا کر حشر میں مجھے، نارے جہنم سے بچا کر حشر میں مجھے، قدموں میں جنت میں بسائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھا اے آخری نبی، اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا، اب وقت رحلت آ گیا عطار زار کا، جلوہ دکھا کلمہ پڑھائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد خضرا دکھائے آخری نبی، میٹھے مدینے میں بلائے آخری نبی، پھر گنبد
There is a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran which alhamdulillah encourages us to adopt tolerance and forgiveness. It is said in this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And O dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopt forgiveness and enjoin virtue and turn away from the ignorant. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu al-Ahwas Auf ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated from his father radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that I said, Ya Rasulullah, when I go to my paternal cousin to ask for something, he does not give me anything, nor does he treat me politely. But when he needs anything, he asks me for that. I have sworn an oath now to neither give him anything nor to treat him with kindness. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded me to do what is better and pay atonement for my oath. Pay expiation for the oath, meaning not to take such an oath to be unkind to someone, although that person may be unkind to you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to pay someone with kindness who is unkind to you. Subhanallah, this is the beautiful sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his blessed sahabi. We should also behave gracefully towards our relatives and every Muslim in general. If someone hurts us, we should control our anger instead of taking revenge in fury of anger. There is a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran which should serve as an inspiration for us, for the Ummah, as the devotees and the true Ashiqi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran,
وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
And those who control the anger and are forgiving towards mankind, and the righteous are the beloved of Allah, subhanallah. The renowned commentator, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Aini, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has also stated that one of the qualities of the pious people in the context of this verse of the Holy Quran, in Tafsir Naini, he says that even in the state of extreme anger, these pious predecessors do not lose their temper, but control the anger despite having power to express their feelings or feelings of anger and rage. They rather forgive the mistakes of their subordinates or afflictions of others, or let the criminals off their crimes rather than seeking revenge for the sake of their own self and lower desires. Allah Azza wa Jal loves such virtuous people who forgive others, who are not harmful to the creation, but rather are useful. Allah Azza wa Jal will favor them as a recompense for their favors. Those people may earn virtues according to their capacity, but Allah Azza wa Jal will reward them according to His own dignity and grandeur. Subhanallah. Nowadays, quarreling over trivial matters and, you know, tit for tat, and raising one's voice over others, losing our cool over petty issues, it has become a commonplace. And always, you know, we find ourselves angry or impatient, and due to the lack of tolerance, we go sometime in a fit of rage to this extent. Ma'azallah, may Allah forbid. You will find amongst them people in our society nowadays that some who are looking for any excuse to pick a fight or to quarrel with people. When they get the opportunity, they lie, backbite, resort to tale-telling and use abusive language, criticize, hurt others, mock and stare at people, glaring and humiliating others. All these actions are utterly disgusting and repulsive acts, and we seek Allah's protection from these actions. Ameen bijahin nabi. Remember that habitually quarrelsome person, a person who is in the habit of picking a fight, who can never be at peace, you know, you get people like that. And they are such people who are obnoxious, the most obnoxious people in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is narrated that Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa Ummul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrated that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the most obnoxious person in the sight of Allah azza wa jal is the most quarrelsome person. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one who involves himself in quarrel and dispute without knowledge, he incurs the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he disassociates himself from it. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his level of tolerance. We should look at that. Study the seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would treat people that spoke abruptly to him, that insulted him. It is mentioned that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to deliver some dates to a person by the name of Zaid bin Sa'na, who was a Jewish scholar, and he paid the money. There were still few days before the delivery was due. So he came to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he insulted him by passing such remarks that it is the habit of the children of Abdul Muttalib to delay the delivery of goods to the people. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed patience towards his remarks, the ugly remarks that he had made against the dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble family. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was at the time in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to Zaid bin Sa'na, if it was not the requirement of respect of the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have beheaded you right now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu from staring at him and threatening him. And he said, Umar, what are you saying? You could have helped both of us. You could have helped him by telling him kindly, you know, to ask in a better manner, in a good manner. If you need your date, ask in a good manner. And you could have helped me by reminding me to give his rightful share. Subhanallah. That was the beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then later on met this person The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give him more than his rightful share just to keep his heart, just to make him happy. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is giving him the date, so he's asking, okay, I know this is my rightful share, why are you giving me extra? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to him that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed me to do this, to keep your heart, to make you happy, to console your heart. After I have stared at you and threatened you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted me to do this. Then Sayyidina Zaid bin Sa'na, who had not yet embraced Islam, he told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, do you know who I am? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no, I don't have an idea as to who you are. So Sayyidina Zaid, he said to him that, I am the famous Jewish scholar, Zaid bin Sa'na, and I have come here to meet the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask for the date. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, then why did you speak to him in such a manner? Why did you speak to him so disrespectfully? Why did you do that? So he said that that wasn't my intention. But I have read the signs of the final messenger in Torah, and I found all those signs present in the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for two, which I had to test myself. So I came here to test for those two signs. Those two signs were that when somebody cheats him with ignorance, he is tolerant. And then the second sign is that the more ignorant a person is to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his tolerance, the level of his tolerance only grows. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And I have tested both of them. And then he came back in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and embraced Islam, kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said to Sayyidina Umar, you know that I'm a wealthy person, and be witness that I have given half of my wealth for the welfare of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. In this way, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won over the hearts of his enemies, Allahu Akbar. And those were the signs that were mentioned in Torah, subhanallah. And when he came in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found those signs to be very precise, because he was speaking abruptly to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over which he exercised patience. And then when he grew more in his ignorance, because it was done deliberately just to test him, but the tolerance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on another level, he became more generous towards him and told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala to give him more date than his rightful share, subhanAllah, just to keep his heart. So this is, alhamdulillah, the noble and the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of tolerating and forgiving others. Now, in the hadith, we have learned, alhamdulillah, that the most obnoxious person in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's most quarrelsome. So if we are in the habit of picking a fight, of being short-tempered, then inshallah, it is about time that we mend our ways, inshallah. By getting angry at people, giving them a piece of your mind, yes, it feels good for the time being, but then you regret later over your actions. What you did wasn't really the right thing. But if you had observed patience, then you wouldn't have any regret. Sometimes we may say things, hurtful things, out of anger to our loved ones in the state of anger, and then those things we regret. Sometimes we even resort to a physical abuse when we are overcome by rage, by anger, and we assault people, and then later on we regret these actions. So why go through all these regrets if we only learn to observe patience and inshallah azza wa jal learn to forgive others? Subhanallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that he loves those who are doing good, meaning وَالْقَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ, that those who swallow the anger and those who forgive people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such people. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. It is stated in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever avoids arguing while he is right will have a house built for him in the best portion of the paradise. Subhanallah. Yes, we tend to argue and fight when we are right. But even then, if we choose to observe patience over it, then the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for us is much greater than we claiming our rights and arguing how you are right and you know how the other person is wrong. Allah Akbar. Sometimes it makes sense to not be right, you know, and not be adamant, inshallah azza wa jal. Yes, if the other person is going on and on about, you know, who's right and who's wrong, learn to forgive and avoid and inshallah tolerate for the time being, because the reward that is awaiting us in the hereafter is much greater than us chatting back. Inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. There are great virtues of forgiving others. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Musa, Kalimullah, alayhimu salatu wasalam, said that, O Allah, the Exalted, who is the most dignified person before you? And Allah Azza wa Jal replied, the one who forgives despite having the ability to take revenge. The one who forgives despite having the ability to take revenge. And he still chooses over that to forgive. Subhanallah. That person is the most dignified person in the court of Allah. Subhanallah. Yes, it makes sense to forgive somebody if you're not in a position to take revenge. You cannot do anything about it. So willy-nilly you say, all right, I forgive you. But what happens when you have the authority, when you are in the position to take revenge, and then you learn to forgive? Subhanallah, subhanallah. That is when you become dignified in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become the better person to learn to forgive and forget and move on. You know, sometimes holding a grudge, there are people who hold a grudge for years. Let's say, for example, they are friends or in a relationship, and somebody did something that they weren't supposed to do, one of them. And the other person, and they, let's say, forgave that person who did wrong. And then years later, 5, 6, 10, 20 years later, that person is still reminded of what that person did 10 or 20 years ago. Now, that is not, first of all, not good for your health, for your mental and psychological well-being, because all of this takes a lot of, you know, negativity on your part, toxicity, you know, that is not good for your psyche, for your mental and psychological health. Imagine you are holding grudge for something somebody did years ago, and you keep on reminding yourself, oh, this person did this to me, I mustn't forget that. And you rub it in their face whenever you see them. Would you like that if somebody did that to you? And sometimes it happens even after forgiving that person, and we still do that. Allah. This is not the right way of doing things, inshallah azza wa jal. And I was just reading one quote in a magazine that said that in a relationship there is, you know, one person must forget the mistakes that they have made in their lives, because there is no point two people remembering the same thing. So it is for the wise ones to understand. So there is no such thing that you must keep on reminding people, taunting them over something that happened years ago, and then harboring over that and ruminating over the problem. Yes, it was a problem, we resolved it, we have forgiven that person, forgiven, forget and move on. It is also mentioned in a narration that the one who becomes angry but thereafter adopts patience Yes, we do become angry. This is human nature. Anger, kindness, happiness, these are human emotions. But the one who learns to control that despite being angry, that is the sign of excellence. So the narration says, the one who becomes angry but thereafter adopts patience, he holds it together. He becomes deserving of the love of Allah, subhanAllah. By controlling your anger, we become deserving of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who doesn't want to be loved by Allah, by the Creator Himself? We all do. But this is one way of making sure that we do deserve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by controlling your anger. It is mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah that the one who suppresses his anger despite having the ability to avenge it will be called by Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment before all the people and will be given the option to choose any of the maidens of paradise. SubhanAllah, that will be the reward for that person. SubhanAllah. And the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in another hadith that the most powerful amongst you is the one who controls himself when in anger, and the most tolerant is the one who forgives despite having the ability to take revenge. SubhanAllah. So the most powerful is not the person who is overcome by the anger and he does whatever he feels like in the state of anger and bashes the person and hurts people, says hurtful things and come out as a champion, so-called. But according to the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he defines it, that the most powerful person amongst you is he, is the one who controls himself in anger, and the most tolerant person is he who forgives despite having the ability to take revenge. SubhanAllah. It is sheer foolishness to lose such a huge reward by uttering harsh words. I mean, we wouldn't lose anything if we learn to control those few moments. All it takes for you to take a hold of yourself for those few moments, and inshallah, you will never regret it. Because why? You are getting in return such beautiful rewards from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, seek greatness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked, how can we do this? How can we achieve this greatness? And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, behave gracefully and keep relationships. Behave gracefully towards the one who cuts off relations with you, and bestow upon the one who deprives you, and exercise tolerance towards the one who treats you badly. These were the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through which one can attain greatness. SubhanAllah. And greatness here in this context is defined by you and my master, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When someone quarrels with us or talks over us, you know, sometimes some people talk to you, sometimes people talk at you and over you. Adopting silence in these times is the best way for our salvation. The beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the one who observes silence attains salvation. SubhanAllah. Why? Because let's say two people are fighting. One person is shouting at you, and you, by you not reacting to that person's insults or whatever hurtful words they are throwing at you, you completely annihilate the entire argument day and then. Because the one who is provoking you to say something, and you stay silent, and you give a smile, right, okay, and that's it, and the fight is over. As opposed to when, if you had to, respond to the person in the same manner, then it would have continued and continued, and the cycle, the vicious cycle, will only increase, the rage and the anger will only increase, and there will come a time where you cannot even stand each other. So before it comes to that, let's break it, inshallah azza wa jal. Because when the flow of a river, it is flooded, then there are measures that are taken to break the flow, to break the current in order to stop it from overflowing. Yes, and it happens, these measures are taken in every facet of life. So why can't we adopt the same principles? You know, the law of repulsion. Like for example, if you throw an object, if you throw a ball to a ball of rubber, you know, these balls you get, and you throw it at the wall is hard. It will bounce back with the same intensity that you throw at it. But if the wall is not made of, let's say, for example, just for the sake of example, if you throw a ball at an object that is also, you know, that is soft, that can absorb, it wouldn't be the same effect. It will lose its speed, it will lose its motion. Similarly, it is human nature that if we learn to absorb and not throw back whatever insults and hurtful words are said to us, and we don't respond back in the same manner, the next person, how long is he going to continue? And inshallah, in this way we can resolve any fight. And inshallah, azza wa jal, learn to adopt patience, and at the same time we are practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, it's easier said than done, but there comes a time that you need to, you know, better yourself. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you might be thinking, okay, why do I need to better myself? You know, I've been taught Islamic values, I've been brought up the right way, and I know my position, I know my Islam, and I know what to do. But there's always room for improvement. We all, you and me, none of us are perfect. So there's always room for improvement. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in his Mubarak hadith, Ahsin khuluqak, improve your character, improve your manners. So yes, there's always room for improvement. So inshallah azza wa jal, it is applicable to us. It is the Mubarak command of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that as a believer, as a Muslim, as an ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to improve ourselves in our manner, in our character, in the way that we lead our lives. Inshallah azza wa jal, now it is a time when we introduce the beautiful segment where we discuss, alhamdulillah, a publication of Maktabatul Madina, a book. And the segment is beautifully named, To Succeed, You Must Read. Yes, inshallah azza wa jal. And today's book that we are going to discuss is Attar's 40 hadith, meaning it is a collection of 40 hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, compiled and handwritten by Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliya. Inshallah azza wa jal, stay tuned with Madani channel and watch this beautiful clip, 3 lucky people. Let's inshallah find out more what is it about, who are these 3 lucky people, inshallah azza wa jal, and you will get to know shortly when you watch this clip. Inshallah, we'll be back. So keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers, do you know regarding those personalities who will be blessed to be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah on the Day of Judgment? Let's listen to a hadith in this regard. The embodiment of Nur, the King of Medina, the last and final Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said, on the Day of Judgment, when there will be no shade except the shade of the Divine Throne of Allah Almighty, 3 types of people will be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah. Number 1, the person who removes the worry of any ummati of mine. If you remove the difficulty and the worry of a fellow ummati, you will be blessed to be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Number 2, the one who revives my sunnah. So reviving the prophetic sunnah, whether that be the Imam al-Sharif, whether that be the outer sunnah or the inner sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his beautiful and prophetic way. And number 3, the one who recites salat upon me abundantly. So we should too recite peace and blessing in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance, so that inshallah we can also be amongst those who will be blessed to be under the shade of the Arsh of Allah on that day when there will be no shade. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, such a beautiful clip that you've watched. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to act upon these beautiful advice and nasiha that is given by the Mualligh of Da'wat Islami. Alhamdulillah. As mashallah, we are into our segment, To Succeed You Must Read. Yes, and inshallah, today's book is Attar's 40 Hadith. Yes, get your hand on this book. You can either get it from the bookshop of Maktabatul Madina Da'wat Islami in your locality, whichever city or town you hail from. Da'wat Islami is alhamdulillah in almost 200 countries now worldwide, mashallah, in almost major towns and cities. And at the same time, if you cannot get the physical copy, then you can purchase or you can rather download this beautiful book from the website of Da'wat Islami, da'watislami.net, inshallah, free of cost. The PDF format, which is supported on multiple different devices, your phone, tablet, computers, and so on, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Now let's talk about this beautiful book, 40 Ahadith that are handwritten by Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuh Mullah Aliyah. And why 40 Ahadith? There is a reason. And the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever memorizes 40 Hadith regarding deen, regarding our religion, so he may convey them to my nation, to my ummah, Allah shall raise him like a scholar on the day of judgment. And on that day, I shall be his intercessor and witness. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's inshallah azza wa jal learn a few of those ahadith, and I'll give you a taste of it inshallah azza wa jal, so you can go and download the rest of the book. The very first hadith, he mentions that 80 years of sins forgiven. Subhanallah. What is that hadith? This hadith is, Salat upon me is light on the bridge of Sirat. And whoever sends Salat upon me 80 times on Friday is forgiven for 80 years of sin. Subhanallah. And the second hadith, the very beautiful hadith, where the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, none of you are true believers until I am more beloved to you or to him than himself. Subhanallah. So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be the most beloved person to you than even yourself. Yes, we all love ourselves, right? But the criterion of Iman is to love the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over yourself. Subhanallah. To love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else means to accept Islam, follow his sunnah, and revere him, and place his happiness and his pleasure over that of oneself, our children, parents, relative wealth and possessions. Subhanallah. Third hadith, alhamdulillah, that which I would like to narrate to you from this beautiful book, alhamdulillah, is where the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever removes the difficulty of a believer, Allah azza wa jal will remove from him a difficulty from the difficulties of the day of judgment. Subhanallah, what a beautiful promise that is made here by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if we aid our Muslim brothers and fulfill their needs, Allah azza wa jal will aid us and fulfill our needs on the day of judgment. In another beautiful hadith, which is also mentioned in this beautiful book, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, none of you can become a believer until he loves for his brother, for his fellow brother, what he loves for himself. Yes. It entails that one shall not possess complete faith until one loves for their fellow brothers what they love for themselves. This hadith also necessitates a person disliking for his brother what he dislikes for himself. If you don't like something, don't give it to somebody as a gift, because you yourself don't like it. To you it's cheap. but to someone else, it shouldn't be acceptable by your standards as well. Let's say, for example, a person favors that he lives happily in peace and with honor, and he is not belittled or harmed by anyone. He should not also want the same for his fellow brothers, nor desire the contrary. Allahu Akbar. So these are the beautiful points that are highlighted in this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another beautiful hadith that is mentioned in this book: a Muslim is he from whose tongue and from whose hand other Muslims are safe. Subhanallah. This is another beautiful way to incorporate this sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam into our lives. We must live in such a way that we do not harm anyone, either physically with our hand or verbally with our tongue. Allahu Akbar. The verbal abuse, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to abstain from committing these types of vices and violate the rights of others and hurt others in this way. A complete Muslim is a Muslim in the literal and Islamic sense, as well as from absolutely every other aspect. A believer mu'min is he who does not sway, backbite. You know, these are the examples of, you know, safeguarding other Muslims from your tongue. And what are the examples of safeguarding others with your hand? That is to, you know, wrongfully hit someone, strike someone. These are the examples. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, a Muslim is he from whose tongue and from whose hands other Muslims are safe. Alhamdulillah, there are many other beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I may have narrated to you 5 or 6 of those ahadith. To get to learn the rest of the hadith, you have to get your hands on this book, inshallah Azza wa Jal, and learn it yourself, read it yourself. And you can read it to yourself, read it to your family, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Again, note down the name of this book. You can even Google it on your phone, on your smart devices, on your laptop. Attar's 40 hadith, yes. And you can just write next to it, dawatislami.net. And inshallah, the results will pop up. First result or the second result on the search page will be the right format, and that you will inshallah be able to download the PDF document, inshallah Azza wa Jal, read it to yourself, for yourself, and read it to your family members, to your children. And alhamdulillah, in this way you are rewarded, as we mentioned. Let's inshallah conclude this program with the recitation of durood and salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and recite together: sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold, in the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold, in these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold, in these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.